Greetings, everybody. My name is Rama Arya, and welcome to the Neutralizing Stress podcast. So we have a delightful friend that we've known for many, many years here, the wonderful, amazing Sherry Pettigo. She's an artist. She is a creative producer and a performer. So yes. Sherry, give us the lowdown on what's happening with your life and what about, and also about some of the stuff you've done in terms of your creative producing.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm born in Kentucky, moved out here from Nashville, Tennessee to work on a TV show 20 years ago, believe it or not. Can't believe it's been 20 years now. Never thought I'd be in California that long because when I left, everybody said, you'll last 2 years. You know, you're a country girl.
So, yeah, but that's what they always say.
That's what they always say. And I'm a country girl. Yes, I am. But you can take the girl out of the country, but you can't take her. What is it? You can take her out of the country, but you can't take it out of her. So
anybody tried? And why would they?
I don't know. Why would they? It's right. Only one person one time, they said, y'all, what do you keep saying y'all for? You know, it's like changing my speech. So, you know, well, anyway, you can't change.
It hasn't worked.
No,
you do a good y'all.
Still got it. So I've traveled all over the world. I've been blessed to have worked with some of the greatest people in the music world. And written some incredible songs. I've had triple platinum hits. You know, I've been blessed to work in genres I never thought I even knew how to write. But music is the universal language. And I never like to be put in a box. You know, when I was in Nashville, when I had a developmental deal in my early 20s, they wanted to make me a certain style of country. And I was like, yeah, but that's not, people always wanted to change and put me in somewhere that I didn't want to go. But interestingly enough, I always got pushed out of my comfort zone all my life, pushed out of my complete comfort zone.
You can't even say the word comfort zone.
I can't even say it. My cousin owned a radio station, and he literally put me on the radio when I was like 18 years old. He put me on the radio and I to do a live remote my first day. Who does a live remote on their first day? Nobody.
Well.
You know, it was crazy. I didn't even know how to do radio.
I've heard shift happens.
Shift definitely is happening all the time, and it's happening right now.
So we did a music video on our last place,
yes,
at our house.
Yeah.
With the garage door, with the barn, the basketball court. We
have
so many areas that you were able to maximize on just one location.
And that was so beautiful. I'll never forget, Milena, your wife, was down in San Diego that day and she couldn't be there for the shoot. And I'll never forget her words saying, I'm sending you all the best blessings and high thoughts and for your shoot. And it couldn't have been a more perfect day. We were supposed to shoot in 2 days. We did it one day. And honest to God, we didn't know how we were going to do it because we had the permit stuff going on. You know, I had to pay for the permit and all that. It seems like permits are a constant issue in California.
I noticed a shift in your tone of voice about permits.
It's a sore spot in my life, but especially at the present moment.
So we'll get to that in a minute. So tell me, what have you enjoyed about being a creative producer?
Giving joy to others.
Be more specific.
Creating music that changes people's lives, literally. And I'm currently working on my first documentary. And I wrote the music for it. I actually wrote a screenplay and I wrote all the music for it. And it was a download for me. It was something that I experienced in my own life. And I realized it was almost what I would call a God arrest. Like I really had to write it. And it was the beginning of the healing in my life. Because writing is healing. If you do it from the right perspective. You know, there's a
and
lot of.
What does
of
that
things.
Mean? The right perspective for you specifically.
For me, specifically, it would be in a positive. You know, not creating a project that makes a person want to feel sad or you know, feel hopeless in their life. I try to give hope in what I write. There's a lot of music that doesn't always give hope. And you know, we write from personal experience. Most of us that write and create, we do write from a place that's personal. But I always try to turn whatever I'm experiencing into a positive through my music. Right. And this screenplay, there was I'm showing what happened with the relationships between their fathers, the two characters. Mm. But in the end, they end up forgiving their fathers, even though they hated them and really had a lot of issues. So my documentary that I have just finished interviewing three celebrities that had severe, major father issues.
Yeah.
hatred and all kinds of stuff. And one of my guys, he's a record producer, pop, he's one of the top ones right now in the industry. He literally cried in the interview. And, you know, and I usually try to pray about everything I do. You know, I always want to cover everything in prayer. Sometimes I just find it's just, it makes things flow much easier, no matter what your oppositions are, you know, because we all have oppositions at times. So the interviews went so incredible. I mean, I couldn't have asked for better interviews. I just finished them. And I finished my last one in the first week of December. And then that's when, you know, I went home for Christmas and came back to my home and was going to finish doing the editing. Well, start the editing, because I haven't even started the editing process yet. Sure, so that's where I'm at right now with it, is in the editing, which, honest to God, I don't know anything about editing. I don't even know.
I don't think it makes a difference based on your own experiences that it just happens.
I didn't even know how to write a rock song, and I did, and it was triple platinum.
Wait a minute. I thought you were country.
Well, like I said, music is a universal language. I don't like to be put in a box anymore. Don't put me in a box.
What inspired you to get into music?
My mom bought me a piano when I was 8 years old, and I just sit down and just started banging on that piano, and I would grab hymnals that we had hymnals at the house, and I would start making up melodies I didn't take piano lessons. It was all by the ear. I just could naturally hear it. And I thought this was a normal thing. Little did I know that it truly was a gift. I thought everybody could do that. I thought everybody could make up melodies. I thought everybody could sing. I was shocked to find out that not everybody had that gift. I just thought it was normal. I didn't realize it was a gift that I had. Everybody's got different gifts. And I've always wanted to share that gift with people. My stage has always been everybody's stage. When I ever do a performance, I bring people on my stage. I've never felt threatened with my stage. I've always shared my stage. You know, I've tried to jump on other people's stages too. And I've got thrown off.
You're threatening other people's stages.
I've threatened many people's stages.
I think the idea that you have is absolutely correct, that you want to include everybody.
I do.
Right? Because we're all connected. I mean, the last time I checked, we're all on the same planet.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
So now, what's going on with this not being able to edit? What's causing you? Because we were talking earlier when you were here, right?
And yeah. Some of the stuff.
So tell me what's going on.
Well, I ended up coming over here today because I had a yard sale over the weekend, which was totally not a planned yard sale. I joined in on another yard sale because when I came back after Christmas to the place that I'm leasing here, which has a recording studio outside of the house, it's separate. And ironically, the person that rented it to me didn't have a permit on it. Well, I didn't know I was moving into a location that wasn't permitted or up to code, built to code. Now, in the state of California, we have earthquakes that are serious, and we have them everywhere.
We have earthquakes?
Well, I mean, they've had earthquakes.
And this is the place of earthquakes.
And so, obviously, I don't know how this came about, but 2 months after I had rented the place, there was a letter that came in the mail, and I have to open the mail for the owner because he's in Nashville, Tennessee. And it said, you're being fined for not being your studio and the back's not built to code. Well, now, mind you, I'm setting up to record in there, building a business, bringing students and having producers come over. I'm just starting to get this going. And then I have to move completely out of there and into the house, which the house had a piano room in it, not really a studio, but I started just using that as a setup. Well, 4 months later, the owner is coming in town to deal with this permit issue because I obviously can't deal with it. It's his property. I met the code people, but I didn't know what I was doing. I just let them in and let them draw the plans to try to get to the city to do all that, which has been a huge learning experience for me because I didn't even know this thing even existed. Mm-hmm. I've never owned property, so I don't know all these code rules and regulations. It's crazy
but who does,
to me.
Most people, when you're renting, you don't know about those things unless you like interrogate the owner.
And exactly.
Then you want a place to live. You don't want to like get into these discussions, right? Especially if it has a studio.
Oh my God!
And but you're so calm. Are talking about it now before you came.
Oh my God, I'm calm talking about it now because I sit underneath a chakra light for about an hour.
Yeah,
to balance my chakras. Oh my gosh. So, and I do feel better from that actually. But here's what was really interesting about it. I came back, I went home specifically 2 weeks for Christmas because the owner had got in town and I didn't even stay at the place for the first week. Now, mind you, I'm paying rent there. Mm-hmm. Still paying rent. I'm not even staying there. So, and he's, you know, I just was being like, get it fixed and let's move on. Come back, I'm going to have to stay a little longer. The window we put in, they're telling us, now we got to tear out the walls and let them see inside the walls. So we thought, okay, we'll get this done. I'm flying out, which is supposed to be tomorrow. He's supposed to be flying out. Well, Friday, the city came in. Now he had to tear up the entire floor. So this morning, I wake up at 6:30 in the morning to banging outside my window. And I'm like, what in the world? And I open my window and I put the got shades there and I lift them up and there's a face right there. And he's like, sees me. And he's drinking his coffee. I'm like, who is this person outside the window? I mean, think about it. I mean, what in the world? So come to find out, they had pulled all the plumbing up in the front yard because the city told him to pull the plumbing up in the front yard. I'm like, are you kidding me? So I try to go back to sleep. It's not happening. I'm getting upset. I get up.
Now, as you're talking about this experience, yes. I want you to notice, what are you feeling in your body, in your mind, in your emotions as you think about what happened earlier?
Completely invaded, completely disrespected.
Well, right. What specifically are you feeling in the body? Like, do you notice
anxiety,
tightness or tension?
Yeah, was it? Yeah, definitely.
Okay, like, what about your mind?
Just a complete like feeling like I've been disrespected. Really,
it was
just
emotionally
sad about it. Sad.
Okay, so now here's the thing I want you to realize: that experience happened at 6:30 in the morning, and look, your body's still being body, mind, and emotion is still being affected about something that happened 6 hours ago, 7 hours ago.
Right.
And then when you were talking about it earlier, it was more intense, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And then what were you doing? Remember you said, I was trying to tell you, you were saying like, I'm trying to think of something else and you're walking around, around
well,
in circles.
Like, I'm just not going to let this bother me. I refuse to let this bother me. I got to think about things that are positive and be grateful in my life. You know, there are people that have gone through many worse things than this. And I'm going, okay, I can't dwell on this and I can't let it rob my peace of mind. I can't let it stop my process of
okay,
where
just
I'm headed.
As you're saying all that, what are you feeling?
Pissed off.
Okay, so you know, I've come up with this very simple process over the years. I've been meditating for 30 years. Melanie and I have been leading spiritual meditation groups for over 10 years. And you know, with all the spiritual practices and stuff, I found out that it still does not resolve what causes the stress of everyday activity, you know, to-do lists and all the stuff that you got to do and the unexpected things that happen. I mean, we have no control of those.
Yeah.
And then you have what I call situational stress, where just like you, things just happen and we get into conflict, we get into disappointments, and then the other thing is then our mind begins to comment on all the reasons why it's happening, but it doesn't get resolved. And then you try to say, I should think about something else. So that's what I call a void dance.
Mm-hmm.
You're in denial of how you feel about the unpleasant nature of what is.
Yeah.
And then you try to distract yourself with something, but it does not resolve.
No, it doesn't resolve
the cause of what caused the initial stress.
Right, right.
Okay, so let's get back to you were feeling what? This experience.
The communication with the owner, he should have told me at 6:30 this morning.
I get all that. That's secondary.
Yeah.
I want you to realize what's happening in your body, in your mind, in your emotions.
Tension.
That's the key.
Tension.
Yeah.
And yeah, then you get tension.
Unbalanced,
I think about it.
In the emotions.
Well, a little anger, you know, a little bit angry at the owner.
Right. And that's
I try not to be. I'm trying to walk in love.
Yeah. But see, what you're doing now is you're having another thought about the anger as opposed to, I'm angry.
Yeah, I'm angry. I'm very angry, actually.
Okay, good. Perfect. So you want to do this process with me?
Sure.
Okay, so close your eyes.
Okay.
Now that you know what the stress experience in the body, mind, and emotion is, so with your eyes closed, I want you to notice, to sense, and experience the space between and around your eyes. It's as if you could sense the distance between the left and right eye, and around each eye. And as you notice and sense that space, add the experience of the space between your chin and your chest. And now add the experience and the sense of the space around your neck, your head, and your shoulders. And then just go a little bit deeper into the experience of the space that's around your face, your head, the top of your head, around your neck, and around your shoulders. Like, go into it completely. And notice how easy and effortless this experience of space is, and that you're still fully conscious and fully present. And now check in. What are you feeling in the body? What are you noticing in the mind? What are you noticing in the emotions? And go ahead and talk. Tell us what's going on.
Well, it distracts you from being caught up in your thoughts.
Okay, but what are you feeling specifically in the body?
More relaxed.
What about in the mind?
More mindless.
What about in the emotions?
Peaceful.
So that took about 40 seconds, 30, 40 seconds. What about the stressful experience that you were having?
Well, I'm not thinking about it right now.
Oh, really? But all the energy you expended is like gone, right?
Yeah.
It's as if it wasn't even real anymore. Did you also notice how fast your whole mind, body, and emotions just went into calmness and clarity? Like, do you feel that anger towards the owner right now?
No.
So continue.
But I'm not thinking about him. So I'm not thinking about him.
Right. Exactly. Don't you find this interesting, how fast you can return? And also, I want you to ponder, if I just notice the space that's around my head and my neck and my shoulders, not only does it neutralize, right? The experience of the tension and tightness, but also you're left with an awareness of calmness, right? What were the words you used?
Calming, more clarity.
And the body?
Yeah.
What about in the body?
You're just more at peace, not so tense. Yeah.
Well,
you're more relaxed. More relaxed.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a difference between not so tense and relaxed.
Yeah. Right. More relaxed.
Well, just notice that space again right now. Notice, just close your eyes and notice that space between and around your eyes. Adding the experience of the space between your neck and your chest. And now put it all together, the space around your neck, head, and shoulders. And then speak. What are you noticing now? That was another 30 seconds or so.
Just more calm.
What else in the mind?
More soundness, you know, not the chitter-chatter in the brain.
Yeah, so you would call that a little more clarity.
Yeah, more clarity.
And then in the emotions?
Stable, more stable.
Did you also notice that you're a little more open in terms of your perception? Like when you look now from the experience of space, look around, what do you notice that's a little more different with that calmness, clarity, and soundness?
Stillness.
Yeah.
Yeah, more stillness.
Though, isn't it interesting?
Yeah, why is that?
Well, I'm asking you. How is it possible that within 30 seconds, not only it neutralizes the tension, but simultaneously leaves you lingering with calmness, clarity, soundness.
Mm-hmm.
And what were you saying emotionally?
Well, more stable in your emotions.
Yeah. Ah, so you're suggesting that all those things must be inside of you. Otherwise, how would you know they appeared so fast? Now, could you imagine doing this little practice throughout the day, once an hour, when you get up in the morning, before you get in your car, before you get out of your car, before you sit down for a project, after you sit down, before you go for a walk. Because before, the circumstance situations of life, they happen, right?
Yeah, they do.
And they control you, and you wind up reacting.
Yeah, reacting. Mm-hmm.
But what if now you realize that calmness, clarity, serenity is available instantly,
right?
How would you notice your life would be from here on?
Much more in order. Like this morning, as soon as that happened, he slept in at like 8:30, right? And so I said that the guy was here, and he's all good. I said, he got here at 6:30. I said 6:30 this morning. He knew he was outside my window.
Now you're saying this very calmly, because when you first talked about it, you were like, wah! So go back to that.
I should have not said anything. I should have just kept my
mouth
shut.
Yeah, but now you're doubting what you did. So listen to the way your mind comes up with this. What I call these stressful responses are just programs.
Right,
first,
right.
You were pissed off.
I was very, very upset, yes.
Okay, so you ran the anger program.
But I didn't really show him I was upset.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It was internal experience of anger.
It was an internal experience.
So now you're denying the anger. So here's the thing. You get angry, right? Because of a situation or circumstance.
Which is normal.
Then you get into what I call the denial or the doubt or disbelief or the judgment program.
Right.
But it doesn't resolve the initial anger experience.
Right. I gotcha.
And then you get into like, maybe I should have said something different.
Yeah.
Then you get into,
so ridiculous,
I need
isn't
to
it?
Forgive myself
yeah.
and think of positive things.
Right.
But again, if you just look at those are all caused by being in a mental crisis mm-hmm. of a label, of a circumstance, situation that's not under your control.
That's right.
So I'll take this one step further if you're interested.
Okay.
Okay. We're on a planet called Earth, right?
Yes.
Have you noticed that it's spinning? Because you can notice day and night, right?
Yeah, but I'm not spinning. I don't feel I'm spinning.
Well, I'm not saying you're spinning. I'm saying
right.
the planet's spinning.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you also noticed that there's different seasons, like hot and cold?
Yes.
Obviously, when you go back to Nashville, it's a little more dramatic.
Yes.
So that means there's movement around the sun because it's so far away from the sun. So then if you take the next logical step, so on something that's constantly moving and spinning, where is your problem? How long did it last? Come on. You're silent all of a sudden. Where is the problem?
Within.
But it's not. Because you're also spinning and moving with the planet.
Right.
All right. Do you get that part?
Yes.
So then let's take it a little bit deeper. Do you notice that everything in your life, you've heard the expression, this too shall pass?
Yes.
That
yes.
means it's temporary and transitory.
That's right. It is temporary.
So now you are causing your own stress based on a situation that happened 6 to 8 hours ago, 6 to 7 hours ago.
Right. No, you're right.
So if you have that much power to cause your mind, body, tension, anxiety, pain.
Right. To get me out of my flow. Because that's what it does.
Then there should be no problem with your life. It's just a matter of shifting
right.
that intensity.
Yeah.
To calmness and neutrality and clarity and harmony.
Right.
Do you get that?
Yes.
And let's go a little bit further now. I have found in my own experience, based on my research, that by the time we're 20 years old, there's over $100,000, 100,000 hours worth of programming, beliefs, mm-hmm. judgments, criticism, religion, opinions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying they're right or wrong, but they cause you to automatically react.
They do cause you to react, absolutely.
And if you go a little bit further, when you get into angry, it forces you to think, to feel and act in ways you would normally not do.
Mm-hmm.
And you wind up regretting that.
Yes. Yes.
So then my guru friend used to say to me, I'm surrounded by idiots, but I'm the biggest one since I keep attracting you all. So if you're reacting from stress, tightness, mm-hmm. and tension, anger, judgment, what do you think you're surrounded with? Who are you attracting?
Yeah.
And then who's causing that to be activated in others?
Gotcha.
But it's at an unconscious level, right?
Yeah, it is on an unconscious level.
And that's
level.
Why we feel it's out of control. But you just had an experience. Let's do it one more time. And this time I want you to think about a story that somebody told you that was stressful. Tell me a story that somebody told you that stressed you out.
Oh, well, I mean, you mean a story about something happened in the news or just anything?
Anything.
Well, I mean, I'm really sensitive to animals. So if somebody tells me about somebody abusing an animal.
Give me a specific example that bothered you.
Well, I mean, I saw this thing that, well, somebody told me or could I have just read it?
Whatever you want, it doesn't matter.
I saw on Facebook yesterday where a man had kicked the horses. They were carriage horses, and they carry people in these carriages. You know, and they have them in Nashville. They have them in, you know, several touristic places. And the horse was exhausted, and it fell to the ground, and the owner kicked it.
Okay, now pause for a second.
Uh-huh.
What are you feeling right now in your body, in
your
mind?
Oh, just like, I'm just appalled by that. That somebody could hurt an animal like that.
Okay, what
and
about
poor
physically?
Poor animal. I feel sad for the animal.
Okay, those are your comments about it. What about physically? What does it make you feel when you think
about
it?
Well, I've already started grabbing my foot, so
yeah.
I'm
and then what about emotionally?
Disgust. You know, it's like a really, I'm disgusted by the fact
now
that
also,
that
wasn't
that.
Your firsthand experience. That was something you read about.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would call that secondhand stress.
Yeah, well, it is big time, and I've had my share of that one when it comes to animals. It's hard for, that's why I don't even hardly go on Facebook anymore.
Look how fast your mind starts to think of the other experiences. It's perfectly okay. All right.
Yeah, well, it's,
you noticed all those three levels, right?
Yeah.
Physical, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so close your eyes now.
Okay.
And then again, notice, sense, and experience the space between and around your eyes. As you notice that space, notice also the space between your chin and your chest. And now add the experience of the space that's around your neck, your head, and your shoulders. And just go a little bit deeper into that space that's around your face, your back of your head, top of your head, around the neck, and also around the shoulders. And notice that you're fully conscious, fully present, and notice how easy, natural, effortless, instantaneous the experience of that space is. And now share what's happening in your body, in your mind, in your emotions, compared to when you first got started with the story of that experience.
Well, I mean, I'm lost in space. I had to throw that in, you know, the TV show.
But give me specifically, what are you experiencing physically?
I feel more joyful, more at ease.
Okay. Emotionally, mentally?
I just lighter.
Yeah.
Lighter.
So again, how much energy and effort did you try to deal with that previous experience? That wasn't even yours. It was a story about an experience, which means that happened a while ago and your mind was reacting to something that was no longer real. Remember, the earth is moving and spinning. How much power you have to stress your system out. And then you probably told that story to others and commented on it.
I shared it.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Just realize what you're doing is you're contributing to the crisis.
I am contributing to it, but I'm bringing awareness to it.
In what way does that solve the problem?
Well, you know, it gets more people upset, actually. But, but it's I didn't know that you know, people, that they're wearing those horses out like that. So.
I get that. I'm just sharing with you, isn't it more impactful to share from a space of calmness, clarity, and openness.
Yeah, and bring in positivity, you know.
Which, it's not even positivity. It's more powerful because you're not having to go back between positivity and negativity.
Right, it's a waste of time, really. It's a waste of energy.
But we do
upset.
It all the time. That's the thing.
I know.
So go back to the experience of the space again, on your own. And again, notice how fast. So that means that this experience of calmness and clarity, you just opened your eyes, it is already there as if it was waiting for you to open up to it. Would you agree with that?
I agree.
So now do you feel that you can influence people from a state of wholeness, from a state of clarity and peace that'll be more powerful and effective because now they'll be open to a much more neutral, more vibrant awareness that actually produces a natural, peaceful, harmonious experience. Look, I'm all for sharing things that are passionate towards us.
Right.
I think it's important. I don't think one should deny a position, because then you can say, well, everything is good and it's perfect. That is absolutely true, but that's not your experience of the moment.
Right, right.
So then by saying everything is good, then you're actually not dealing with what caused the momentary arising of the experience that caused you pain and suffering.
Mm.
Right?
Right.
So in the last two examples, did you notice that that experience has been neutralized in your mind and your body and emotions?
Yeah, yeah.
And remember when we first started speaking, when you came here earlier, you were doing all sorts of dances about it. And the question I want you to think about, did all the dancing about thinking about positivity and all the reasons why I'm so blessed, did that actually resolve the primary cause of the 6:30 shock in the morning?
No.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's your experience. I'm just the tour guide, right?
Right, right.
You're not having my experience. So think about all the things, because there's a simple thing in quantum mechanics, okay? Quantum physics, that's from 1920, basically. Infinite energy with infinite possibilities right now in the same space. And we just demonstrated that. Not only were we able to neutralize it just by experiencing space, but simultaneously activating a latent potential within you of clarity, harmony. And then if we did it a little bit more, a little bit more, you actually was able to go deeper. Now that is absolutely outrageous. Because what are people complaining about? Oh, there's Maya. Oh, there's suffering. And what are we doing?
Adding more fuel to the flame.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't resolve it for anybody.
No, it doesn't. It just makes it worse, actually.
Yeah.
Ian, I kind of dug myself deeper with this whole thing, too, over the weekend.
But you know? I don't think we have a choice.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, if we don't realize that if we do not do something on a consistent basis to neutralize the cause, then we have no choice for moving. It's like basically frying pan into the fire of crisis.
Yes.
We don't think about these things because nobody teaches you these things.
No.
They talk about meditation. They talk about these things. And look, I'm all for meditation. I think it's awesome. My only challenge is that if you're stressed 12 to 16 hours a day, and then you practice something for 20 minutes twice a day,
right?
What are you doing for the rest of the 14, 16 hours?
You're stressing.
So do you think it'll take a while? But then you've accumulated that tightness and tension. And then anytime something that's similar, what does the mind do? It projects a feeling of a previous experience onto the present moment, forcing you to think about something that will may or may not ever happen. But then you have an emotional tightness and tension and anxiety and stress over something that may not ever happen. This is the programming that's forcing you to think, act, and feel. And it's a lot. That's why the suggestion is, if you do this upon waking, once an hour, twice an hour, anytime you feel stressed, but also you want to get into the habit of recognizing that my natural state is of calmness, clarity, harmony, peace, and well-being.
My natural state is, yes. Yes,
and
it is.
Inseparability from the divine light and love. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
You notice the planet is spinning and moving, right? Which means that things are just temporary and transitory. This too shall pass, right?
Right.
Now, we forget that the light of the sun is always shining. We forget that the planet is in such a perfect position to maintain a sustained life. So if you notice a little bit deeper, there's a light and love that's totally unconditioned that surrounds us. And we guess what are we breathing in? Air. That life force. So it's literally flows in and out of us. So when we're thinking and activating through stress, do you think that's available to us consciously?
Yes. Yes, it is.
but we're not aware of it because our mind is clouded with previous ideas and concepts, forcing a previous experience to influence our present and activating a potential future. And we miss that deep, intimate connection. I mean, what does it say? You, as we shared earlier, you have a certain religious experience that you enjoy and experience, right? A certain connection.
Right, right.
When was the last time you felt separate from that awareness, that energy, that divine love?
When I felt separate from it? Well, I mean, whether I feel it or not, I'm never separate from it.
Ah, that's a concept, though. When you're stressed out, you're way further from it.
My flesh is.
Yes. But what do we have? We have a flesh, mind, and emotion. And that's how we interact with the world.
Yeah. Yeah, we allow those things to take over.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's take this one step further.
Okay.
So close your eyes again. And then go back into the experience of that space that's around your eyes, between your eyes. And you know what to do on your own. And then I want you to imagine that the sun floating outside the planet now, and look at the sun that's shining all the time for billions of years, that light, the earth in a perfect position. And I want you to imagine now tuning into that energy. And notice that not only does it surround you, but you drench, you steep, you immerse in it all the time. And nothing you could ever do would separate you from that. Not even waking, dreaming, sleeping, not even all the stressors that you could ever imagine. Even though things are temporary and transitory, that will never be temporary and transitory. There's no opposite to that. Because if there were, the earth would stop spinning. And we wouldn't have this discussion anymore. But it doesn't. Like, when's the last time the earth stopped spinning? So go back into that experience. And when your eyes open now, imagine you're being surrounded by that awareness of light and love, unconditional light and love. And notice that you're breathing it in and out. So really sense it permeating everything in your mind, body, and emotions. And now, what's happening in your body, in your mind, and emotions that's different?
Just the stillness and the realization of really, I mean, if you think about the sun and the planet, how small we really are down here, you know? It's pretty powerful to think about that. You know, there is a lot of space.
How does that make you feel?
There's a lot of space in between us and the sun.
How does it make you feel to experience that unconditional light and love?
Well, protected, because we are protected. We're protected from the sun getting too hot. We really don't realize what a miracle we really are.
Yeah.
Because we're too sometimes get caught up in the craziness of life, you know.
Right. But that still does not deny us floating in that space.
That's right.
So then what if you with practice now became aware that that's really what's there, and the temporary and transitory nature of life is just to experience it so you can have a greater depth of experience of what is really in the background. So then all your experiences will be joyful, even if you're hurting.
That's right.
Even if you're going through what you called emotion, intentional things, because you'd say, hey, wait a minute, all I got to do is notice that space.
Mm-hmm.
And you would offer others a possibility that they knew was not even possible. I mean, think about that. You would become what I call a social influencer.
Right.
Because you would be the cause of them activating that space without doing anything.
Well, the interesting thing is you won't be trying to do anything.
That's it.
Because you're just going to be.
And
you're not trying like I was trying before. I'm just going to try to be thankful. I'm going to try to. I'm kind of just still right now. I'm very focused.
Almost, right. So if you know? You say you're trying, you're actually avoiding the cause of what caused you that.
And honestly, then your mind is trying is stressful.
Yeah.
Because you're putting stress on yourself to try to.
And but you've heard this, right? Just try a little bit harder,
yeah,
honey.
Yeah. Just try to forgive that person. You just do it. You just be that.
No, you can't try because you are not in the space of acceptance.
Right, right.
You can't forgive somebody when you have not accepted the truth of the pain.
Right, right.
When you say, yes, this is painful, there's nowhere your mind can go.
That's right, because you're not in denial any longer.
But you've heard this too shall pass.
Yeah.
And once you see that it does pass and realize, but all that is so much work.
Then you're triggered. Like when I was triggered this morning because it was a past thing.
But can you control the trigger?
Yeah, because I can go inward and go.
No.
Go into
this
space.
Can you control the trigger previously before this discussion?
No, you can't control it.
Yes.
Physically, but you can not allow it to if you just go into a place of space.
Well, and, yes. Here's what I see. Mm-hmm. You literally no longer exist in the crisis channel. You're on the Serenity Clarity channel. Mm-hmm. And guess who's there? All the people that are interested. That's like watching something, the horror show. You know, there's channels that they play horror movies.
Yeah.
If you change to the romance channel, does that television station call you up? Hey, Sherry, what the hell are you doing? You're watching, and why did you leave us?
Right.
That never happens.
No.
So those realities are going to be there, and those that are interested will still play in that.
Mm.
We have no business with them anymore.
That's right.
We're not judging them. We're not evaluating because we're not there.
Right.
This is the power we have when you open up to the vastness of clarity, harmony, serenity. You literally give people permission to join you.
Mm. That's true.
Think of how much power you have to fabricate or manufacture a crisis when that experience no longer exists. And now you know that you don't have to even try to stop that. Because even trying to stop your mind from thinking about something actually makes you think about something so then you can try to stop it, which causes more stress.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bizarre, right?
Yeah, it's
true. Don't think about it.
Yeah.
And the tone of voice, like I hear people say, I just got to let it go. But the way they say it causes more tension than the actual thing of letting go.
Well,
true. Sherry, this has been an absolute wonder to have you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad I came by. Didn't realize I was going to do this.
Shift happens.
Yeah, and a shift does happen.
And I look forward to, that what you're doing, it sounds amazing. Include us.
Thank you.
When it's available.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I feel more excited about the project now after this, actually, because I've been feeling a little like, when am I going to get this done, you know?
Yeah.
Stressed about it.
Let's be real, right? And now you know that, listen, it's okay to have what appears in the moment in your mind body. There's nothing you can do about it except notice that it's there and then immediately notice that, I mean, like right now, we're sitting in our house. You see there's a cup on the table, right?
Yes.
But you see that the table is in the room where there's a lot more stuff, which is in a house with a lot more stuff, which is in the space. Same space has the sounds, has the smells, has the taste. Yet when you experience the space only, it produces something dynamic. It doesn't take away from the cup being there. It doesn't take away from the chair being there. It doesn't take away from the traffic that's going in and out. Doesn't take away from the smells and taste. Yet profoundly, it leaves your body with such incredible natural awareness.
Mm.
So I want you to play even deeper. Like if my mind, body, and emotion can come to such clarity, harmony, not only after it neutralizes stress, but it leaves me more incredibly open. What else is in that space?
Right.
What else is possible? So all of you that are listening, you can get a free copy of this Neutralizing Stress, Activating Creativity and Joy on my website, neutralizestress.com. And also, we're going to be doing something called a 5-day intensive. Well, I'll guide you every day through a practice of doing it 8 to 10 times a day. I'm also available for private consultation and for businesses, because guess what? How many people do you know don't stress out? And how many people think about the impact of just daily stress on your lives, mentally, emotionally, physically? And then think about the impact you cause by acting from a stressful situation that probably wasn't even your causing. That's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
And you know what? You can neutralize it. You can be the cause of not only neutralizing your stress, but leaving others with a lingering experience of tranquility, calmness, serenity, clarity. Just like our dear friend Sherry Pettigo, the artist, the musician, the creative producer, the one who's no longer be boxed at all. She wasn't boxed at all to begin with.
Oh, man. That's great. Thank you, Rama.
Thank you.